Do you ever get an invitation to a party or to a large event and it has a theme and you look at the theme and you're like, oh, no. Oh, it just doesn't go with your aesthetic at all.
You can have the opposite happen, too. We heard about a party this past weekend that we would have loved to have gone to, 90s theme, but we just didn't get the invite in time.
Raven, producer John, producer Sean, this always seems to happen. So you think, Raven, that your aesthetically pleasing theme party is 90s? You think that's what you kill it at?
Well, in my wheelhouse, I think 80s, 90s, 70s would all work for me. Gladiator days, mm-hmm. anything like that. You know, it's stuff that I'm familiar with, stuff that I like.
Okay,
oh, yeah, I've got a Maximus costume. Sure. It's great. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I feel comfortable with all those.
What's the worst?
For me, I'm going to say like anime or 2000s, you know, anything like that. Here's the thing. When somebody says to me 2000s, I don't know what you mean. I mean, I lived through it. I remember all of it. Don't remember what I'm supposed to be wearing. I feel like it had no theme, the 2000s.
No, the answer is frosted tips. That's what
it is. I mean, that feels 80s to me. I don't know.
That would be difficult for you right now.
Right.
That's,
yeah.
That's true.
What I'm saying. Right.
That's
thanks,
true.
John,
you're
for
welcome.
Pointing that out. Right.
That had to happen this past weekend. I had to go to a preschool gala that I was hosting, and then they kind of casually threw in the theme is flowers, and I was like, what? Like, what kind of theme is flowers? Flowers is something that exists. It's not a theme of a party. And ironically, I got invited to a wedding a couple of years ago that the theme was also flowers. And you know what I don't look good in?
Flowers?
Anything floral. Floral is not for me.
Yeah.
But if it's like a black or white wedding where you can only wear black or white, or like the angel or devil where it's red or black, sign me up for that all day. That's what I look good in.
You feel you're good for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. John.
I would rock that 90s one in a big way. I mean, you know, what do you need? You need ripped jeans. You need flannel. You need like
pretty
loose,
much what you wear every single
flitting.
Day
it's
anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Correct. The only thing I'd have to do is shave the beard because they didn't do the big beards back then. I would need the scraggly hair and shave the beard. What I would not do well in is black tie anything at all. That
my
is
favorite.
Really, oh,
I feel
no,
like black
no,
tie
no.
washes you up for anything.
Oh, I
personally,
think it's
myself.
But. Yeah, no, but I can't remember the last time I did that. I can't remember the last time. And I have to host a bar mitzvah.
We'd have to dress them. Yeah.
I have to host a bar mitzvah in a couple of weeks. And it's supposed to be black tie. And I thought, dude, I'm not kidding. I think I need to rent something. Like, I'm worried about it.
You should
maybe
definitely
you should.
Rent something.
Yes.
You cannot show up to an event that's black tie and you're hosting it and you're not wearing a tie.
You're at the country club and they're not letting you in.
Mm-hmm.
Producer Sean.
You know, I think one of the best parties or best theme parties I've ever attended, like this is like going way back though, before The Walking Dead fell off.
Sure.
But some people, like every year when a new season would come out, would have like the first episode viewing party and people would go dress as characters. So that was a lot like really cool to me because they always had like themed, like, you know, like they had things like food that was like zombie themed foods and stuff like that. Lamest one I've ever been invited to though, and I've been invited to a few of them, was a SpongeBob theme party.
Oh.
I'm like, you're an adult. You're 30 years old. Why are you throwing a SpongeBob party?
Sean remembering his heydays with the Walking Dead out here. He was a good Negan. I do remember.
I was just, like,
he has the natural coloring for him in the hair and everything, right?
My first day working here, I started working here on Halloween. It was Halloween weekend, and it was you dressed as Negan with the bat and the leather. And you were so into it.
He'd like to dress that way every day.
So. I would. Tell people that their stuff belongs to me.
Oh, we just need the end of the world to get here already.
This was big news that broke yesterday.
We've got breaking news from the NFL. Star tight end Travis Kelce has agreed to a 2-year extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. The deal could be the final contract that allows the 34-year-old Kelce to finish out his career in Kansas City. The contract makes him the highest paid tight end in the league.
All right. And like we're going to discuss whether or not Taylor Swift had anything to do with this. It's a 34.25 million year, 2-year contract.
It's not a million year. It's
2-year contract.
Yes, right.
2-year contract, $34.25 million.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's on top of what he was getting or whatever. Hey, listen, he's the best tight end in the league.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple other guys that are really, really, really great, but he's the one winning the Super Bowls right now. So all of that makes sense. This contract makes sense regardless. They want him to be there and make that money.
Yeah, but you know, you insisted that it had a lot to do with Taylor Swift, but the 4-year deal that he signed in 2020 was for $46 million.
Hey, listen, the only thing that you could say is, number one, Taylor Swift has brought far more attention to the Kansas City Chiefs, which seems impossible for a team that was already a Super Bowl champion. But she has, and she's made them millions, hundreds of millions.
I will say that Patrick Mahomes really started it. Like, he brought all the attention. His
wife.
Yeah, but
people didn't like his wife. They did not like his wife until Taylor Swift came into the fold. Now they love her.
Well, they PR fixed Brittany Lynn. That's what they did. 100%.
But they weren't going to do that without her. It was going to take a lot longer without Taylor Swift. You can definitely say that. So.
Yeah, so now he's super rich if he wasn't super rich before. Yeah. And we'll see what happens from there.
Sure.
The other thing that everybody's talking about, and it keeps popping up in the news, is the new Hulu series, Thank You, Goodnight, the John Bon Jovi story.
Yes.
And he says this.
At 25, all I was thinking about was fun, success. At 30, I got married. I had looked at success differently. By 40, you start to measure, did you accomplish what you set out to do? By 50, you start to think about a legacy. By 60, I think, as the Chinese proverb says, it's basically you are the man you were meant to be.
He also said this. Oh, what does that mean? Oh, it also means that. Okay, so take note of that.
So I'm a huge John Bon Jovi fan, and I have a real problem with documentary because every day when something comes out in the news, it has to do, the only thing they're grasping onto is that he cheated on his wife. And
I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that.
All over the news is that it keeps coming up that he admits that he was not a saint. Let me see. I'm a rock and roll star. I'm not a saint. You know, I'm not saying that there weren't 100 girls in my life. I'm John Bon Jovi. It was pretty good.
I mean, 100 times. I mean, I thought he cheated. Like, I thought he meant, like, you know, once or twice, you know, or maybe, you know, there was one person. No, he said 100. 100 girls.
He said that his wife, and his wife was like his high school sweetheart. And like she was very tolerant of him early on. And that he never did quite enough. And I'm like, what does that even mean? He never did quite enough. I mean, he wrote a song about it. That we knew.
What?
Yeah. And I hear this, and like they've made a big deal how she didn't walk the last red carpet with him. And I go, do you blame her? Her whole life, she's dedicated to this man and their children, and like she always is out of the limelight, and she's just there to support him. Like, why are you doing that, Bon Jovi? Let her be. Like, you don't need to bring her into this. You have a successful career. Leave that out.
I mean, they didn't ask him to bring her into it. I mean, this is part of the story. It's a documentary.
Yeah, but I feel like he could have left that part out. I feel really bad for her.
That's kind of up to the director, not up to him. Right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Observations of things that drive you crazy. What are they? 1-800-330-9999. Xavier, that's all I need to know about you.
If you forget to turn off your turn signal for miles after you've switched lanes, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, that'll drive you nuts, especially when they're in the fast lane, right? If they're in the slow lane, I'm just like, okay, you know, I'm going to go around you. But if they're in the fast lane, like, I appreciate the fact that you put that turn signal on wherever you put it on. Miles ago, 13 exits ago, I don't know, Tuesday, whenever you turned it on, I appreciate the fact that you did it. The person behind you definitely appreciated it, because I do believe in the turn signal. I hate it when people don't use it. But if you leave it on and on and on, it drives me nuts. And if we're in traffic, like we're still moving, but we're in traffic, oh, it drives me nuts. It's like my mind gets fixated on it, you know?
Right, you just can't stop staring. Yeah. You wonder how much longer is it going to be on?
I'm waiting for the time that you're either A, going to take this turn, or B, you know, whatever. I don't even know.
All right, Brittany, that's all I need to know about you.
If you are a guy and still quoting movies from the 80s and 90s on a daily basis and think that's cool, that's all I need to know about you.
Now, welcome to my life here at the studio.
I mean, this is my show.
All I ever hear.
You're calling my show talking this nonsense.
Well, it's because
this junk.
Right. But Raven gets upset when I tell him that he makes movie references that nobody knows what he's talking about. Like, it won't even be like a popular movie. It'll be a movie that, like, from the 80s that nobody watched.
There's somebody that gets it every time, all right? Just not a high percentage anymore. But there's somebody out there that gets it every single time, and I'm there for it.
Eric, that's all I need to know about you.
If you charge your adult children to watch your own grandkids, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, that's messed
up. My mother-in-law wants us to pay her. She wants us to pay her $100 a night.
Well, it's steep, too.
What are your qualifications to watch my children? Well, I raised you, so we can start with that one.
Well, you are breathing, but, I mean, $100 and $100 a night? Oh, gosh. You know? We just had to say no for the first time the other day, and it killed us because we had to do yard work.
Oh, that's awful.
You know, it was just like, we were like, oh. And then for the next hour or so, my wife was just like, he's headed over to blah, blah, blah's house. I'm like, we had an opportunity to say yes.
No, you shouldn't have said that because now they're, you made a mistake.
No, you're crazy. No.
Okay.
Every time that grandbaby comes over too, it's just like we don't get anything else done.
If my mom said, you have to pay me $100, she would never.
Never.
I would pay the $100. I would be like, there's nobody better person to watch your children than your parents.
Yeah, but what if she tacked that on every day? Ouch.
That's messed up, though.
Ooh.
I do feel bad for you.
Plus mileage.
A majority of people have celebrities appear in their dreams, which I always thought was interesting because it's exciting when you get to like meet and talk with your favorite celebrity, even though you realize you're asleep, you know?
Remember that time that you were dating Keanu Reeves for a while?
I did.
Yeah.
It was the strangest thing. He was such a nice guy.
So nice.
I know.
He was so polite.
Oh, my husband was just thrilled. He wasn't, my husband could even get mad.
He wasn't
like,
mad.
Oh. He's like, that's so great. I'm glad you had that opportunity in your dreams.
You know, at cocktail parties and everything, people were like, wow, you're dating Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. But here's something really strange.
Yeah.
Raven and I were talking about our dreams, and turns out that over the weekend, we both had very similar dreams about the same person. Well, I shouldn't say that. They were very different dreams about the same person.
No way.
No way. Yeah. I know, Keanu. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Producer Sean is joining us. And producer Sean, our dreams were about you.
Why?
I don't know. Why?
Big questions,
we
man.
We don't know.
And it's so weird that it happened the same weekend that we're talking about it. So in my dream, Sean was breaking into an apartment. It used to be an old apartment building that I lived into. And it, you know what? It might have even been my apartment. But obviously, there was somebody else in there now. And he had so many questions about how we were going to pull off this caper, this heist. And I was like, shush, man. We're going in to break in. And then we broke in and somebody was in there and they woke up from a nap and we ran out. That was my dream.
How does that make you feel, Sean, that Raven was dreaming about doing illegal things with you?
I feel offended because I wouldn't be asking that many questions.
You had so many questions. And I was just like, shut up, bro. We're going.
Me. That's not me. If anything, you'd be asking me the questions.
You know what? It'd be one thing, too, if it was moral questions, Anna. Like, why are we doing this? We shouldn't be doing, you know, those type of things. Like, you know, pondering those things. No, it was more like, it was like, all right, so what television do we want? It was like, what are we going to do with the door? And I was like, yo, shush, man.
So weird.
Let's go.
Kick down a door, snatch and grab.
We had ski masks and pillowcases.
I had a very, very, very different dream about Sean. We were in high school, and I was back in high school, and I was like trying to figure out where all my classes were. And I walked into my math class, and I didn't know anybody. It was a new school. And I walked in, and you were sitting there, and I was like, Sean. I was like, what are you doing in this class? And you're like, I'm in this class.
Yeah.
And I was like, awesome. And that was literally, that was it. That was your cameo in my dream.
That's wild.
You were in my math class.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Was I a bully?
No. You were just sitting there.
In high school.
It was just in high school.
Yeah.
And we were just in high school. And it was like just part of the dream. Like in the dream, I was navigating the halls and trying to figure out where the cafeteria was. And I finally found my math class and I didn't know anybody. And I walk in and there you are sitting there. It's so strange. Like, why would we both have dreams about producer Sean in such different situations on the same weekend?
You know, remember if you've ever been a new student, sometimes they assign you like a student ambassador. It would have been funny if he was like, you know, this is how you get to math class. And this that would have been interesting, huh?
But it's weird when you have certain people show up in your dreams because you're like, where did that person come from? But it's even stranger when you have celebrities. And we're going to get to that coming up next. It says when you dream of a celebrity, it can signify the qualities you aspire towards yourself.
Mm.
I don't know if I believe that. Like, I always have dreams of Snoop Dogg just being my best friend, and we're always just hanging out, and he's always giving me good advice. I don't know if I want to be Snoop Dogg. I'd like to hang out with him.
I mean, I've had a lot of different dreams with the celebrities that pop up here or there, but Danica Patrick showing up for like 3 months straight, that was memorable there.
She just kept coming back. Raven believed that Danica Patrick wanted to date him.
Here was the thing, is that Danica Patrick was pressing. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. She was pressing on me. She was like, you know, she was popping up all over the places I didn't expect to see her, which is everywhere, of course. But, you know, popping up in multiple places and just laughing all the time at my jokes and twiddling her hair. I've never seen Danica Patrick giggle and twiddle her hair in any situation whatsoever. She's a serious woman, Anna Zapp.
Yeah, but in your dreams.
Not with me.
Not in your dreams.
Not with me.
What celebrity keeps popping up in your dreams? 1-800-330-9999. Alexis.
Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, The Rock.
I mean, that's a good choice.
Me too. That's a good dream.
For anything.
Yeah.
Oh, you would think. You would think, right? Mm. Obviously, it would be an amazing dream. So we're standing in front of a river, and I'm not like a short person, but I'm petite, you know?
Yeah.
So we're standing in front of this river, and clearly we have to cross it. So Dwayne, he picks me, and we're on a first-name basis, so it's Dwayne.
Of course.
He picks me up. He picks me up like I'm a feather, puts me on his shoulder, helps me cross this river, and puts me down. And then I wake up.
Wow.
Oh, he's so strong.
He is so nice.
Yeah.
I wish I could arrange the two of you meeting and watch you tell him that story.
Yeah. He would 100% pick you up.
He'd be like, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Becky, what's the celebrity that always shows up in your dreams?
Patrick Stewart. Captain Picard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Yeah.
Are you a big Star Trek fan?
Yeah, I am. But he also, he's just an awesome, awesome guy. And I remember this one episode in particular where he was naked and he had a really nice butt. And that stayed in my memory.
Oh, my, what?
She has a crush on Patrick Stewart, who is 83.
I know he's an old bald guy, but he's so awesome.
I mean,
he is so awesome.
He's quite elderly at this point now. I mean, I guess, I don't know, you know.
Well, I'm holding on to the older image.
Okay, no, okay. I get it. All right. All right, that's fine.
Different
I mean,
strokes he is, for different folks.
He is very stoic and a fantastic actor. I mean, yes.
Raven also dreams about his butt.
He delivers a line.
I do.
You know, I believe
I do.
Him. But, wow, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And also, well, I mean, if it were to be somebody current, it would be Magic Mike.
Okay, well, Channing Tatum. Yeah, that,
Channing
okay.
Tatum,
yes,
yeah.
Okay.
That makes a little
obvious
more sense.
Reasons.
I mean, what a night if you could run into the two of them, I guess.
Seriously.
Right?
That is bliss. Mm. I would die a happy woman.
I wonder if they party together.
Doubt
Who knows,
it.
Right?
No, I don't think so.
Woo! I would love to be in that sandwich.
Okay, that's enough. Thank you. All right.
If you missed it, we've been talking about the random people that show up in your dream and what does it mean. Joining us, it's certified dream expert Sivia Gover. You can find her online at thirdhousemoon.com. Sivia, why in the world would our producer keep showing up in both of our dreams?
Yeah, it's been a strange experience, I have to say, Sivia.
It is strange. You have to sort of break this down into two things. One is, why is your producer showing up in your dreams? Mm-hmm. And the other is, why are you both dreaming about the same person?
Right.
Well, Sivia, let me just give you a little bit of the story here. So this happened in the same weekend. And in mine, Sean was breaking into a house.
And in mine, he was another guy sitting in my high school class, and I was back in high school.
So the people in our dreams represent parts of ourselves. So
that's funny.
If somebody who's artsy shows up in your dream, right? What part of myself is artsy or so on? So, yeah.
So, wait a minute. Tell me, the reason why Sean was in Raven's dream is because Raven also believes he's a criminal?
Sivia, Anna and I both have, I'm sure, very different thoughts on what Sean would represent in our personality. When you think of Sean,
yes.
Anna, first word that comes to mind.
Kind? I don't know. I would think he's a kind person. Is that why he was in my math class?
Yeah. I think he's a survivor. Maybe that's why he's robbing people.
Survivor?
Yeah.
Yes. You do work together, so there might have been something that you each picked up on subconsciously, something that was different about Sean that week or stood out about him that week.
All right. So, Sivia, this is going to take a real dark turn. When I think that multiple people are having a dream about a person, I think it's like means something bad is going to happen to them.
So you immediately just killed Sean.
No.
Wow.
I've had
you brought her to be a part of it.
Three people over the last, I would say, month have a dream about something bad happening to my younger daughter around water. It's been the strangest thing. And I'm panicked.
Wow.
You know, can that mean something bigger and terrible? I'm hoping you're going to tell me it's like when you get the death card, but it's a good thing. Like it means that they're going to win the lottery.
Well, I'm going to tell you two things. One is 99.9% of the time, dreams are speaking in metaphor. And yes, you can look at it like the death card. Like it means that Dakota is showing up in people's dreams as maybe moving into some new stage in life where she's maybe taking on a new risk. But there are cases, like when you were talking about both of you dreaming about the same coworker, it does make you wonder, doesn't it, that we know more than we think we know, that there's more to life than meets the eye.
This would have been so much more jarring if Sean was trying to make out with both me and Anna in each of our dreams. That would have been weird, right? Yeah. That would have been weird.
You would have been in entirely different territory in that case.
I do want you to know, though, that I did put Dakota back into swim classes this past week.
I was going to say,
yeah, I
let's
did.
Just check that box.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that that is all set.
Sammy, what does it mean when you keep dreaming of celebrities?
You might have heard of the shadow in a dream, that it's something negative in a dream is showing you sort of a part of your personality that you've been repressing or rejecting or hiding. Celebrities in dreams are often the opposite. They're showing you a part of your personality that's ready to shine out.
Snoop Dogg has appeared in my dreams, like, randomly for the last 20 years. He just always shows up. We're always just chilling. We're hanging out. Yeah. I consider myself an incredible rapper. I don't know if anybody else would consider
that. There you go.
Yeah. Remember when Danica Patrick was in my dreams for like a couple months, and she was like coming on to me all the time. She was always laughing at my jokes, always laughing at my jokes and twiddling her hair.
Because you think you're funny.
She was like, it's so funny. I was like, stop it, Danica Patrick. Stop it. Thank you, Sivia.
You can head to thirdhousemoon.com for all the information. Thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it. Can this stat be right? 1 in 5 people gets therapy or goes to therapy. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what did you say, 1 in 5?
Yeah.
It should be higher.
You know, AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys, he was just in an interview, and he said this.
We've been around the world and back again. We've had highs, lows, ups, downs. But really, truly, like the five of us, this truly is our first marriage. You know, I mean, hell, we've been to therapy together as a group. Wow. You know, no great relationship comes without work.
And people heard that, and they're like, Backstreet Boys went to therapy? What?
I mean, like you said, listen, you've got all sorts of egos pulling in different directions. You've got a lot of money on the line. Any situation like that, it's pressure. Things like that are going to happen. You're going to need somebody to talk to, I'm guessing, or else you're just going to tear each other apart.
Yeah, sometimes you have to go to therapy, not alone and not with your spouse, but with other random people. Who was it? You can call 1-800-330-9999. Full disclosure, Paul.
Yeah.
Raven and I had to go to therapy. And I'll never forget my husband Paul's reaction. He goes, you're going to therapy with your co-host?
Yeah.
With another guy, you're going to go to therapy? Because Paul and I have never gone to therapy.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, they're making us, babe.
Yeah.
100%. That's what happened.
Yeah. I mean, they came to us basically. Listen, when we first started, we're in a room together 10 hours a day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And then we're doing other stuff together, too. And I mean, we're seriously in one room. So you work any way with, like, you know, another person like that, you're going to run into conflict. It happens.
Sometimes I walk by the people like in our office that are in cubicles, or they have like offices where they could close the door.
And you long.
And I'm like, what would that be like?
Oh, my gosh.
Would that be like to not have to sit in a room with somebody for 10 hours a day? Because you get on each other's nerves.
Oh, 100%. You know? And they came to us and they were just like, whatever's going on, you guys have to fix it because the show is funny. And we did. You know, it was very effective. At least for me, I thought it was.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it was good to get like different perspective and to have things out in the open and have conversations that you wouldn't necessarily have at work.
But for people to hear that, it's funny.
I know. Whenever we tell people that, they look at us like we're nuts.
Like we're lying.
Yeah. I honestly think we could probably go again. You
know, like, it's not a bad idea.
Jamie, who did you have to go to therapy with?
I actually went on my own, but it was group therapy with about 15 to 20 strangers.
Okay. That's interesting. I've gone to therapy many times on my own. I still do, but I've never done it in a group setting. Like, what's that like?
Yeah. Do you have to like go around the room and share what your problem is and then everybody else talks about it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's, you know, a group mixed with, you know, men, women, all different ages, all different backgrounds. But then, you know, once you get into the therapy portion of it, you kind of realize, you know, everyone's totally different, but a lot of the same situations are going through the same thing. But you go around the room, introduce yourselves. You have the option to talk about, you know, what you want to talk about if you want to, or, you know, converse with the people on what they may be going through. So it's actually pretty beneficial. Uncomfortable, but beneficial.
I would think so uncomfortable, because it's one thing when you have to talk about everything that's bothering you with one person one-on-one, but to talk about it in a group setting has to be a serious challenge.
But I'm with you. I mean, I think that if you get different perspectives and you see different people, you know, from all walks of life going through similar things, you feel less alone, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that therapy, a big part of therapy being effective is to feel as if you are not isolated. So are there coffee and donuts?
You can actually bring your snacks. Yeah. It was a program that was about a couple months, 3 days a week, and it was about 3 hours per session.
Yeah, it sounds court-ordered, and it also sounds like NA or AA if you've got donuts.
No, definitely not. I need it for my own mental health.
Yeah, I'm with you. No, hey, listen, I'm with you. I think it's a great idea.
Recently, AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys said this.
You know, I mean, hell, we've been to therapy together as a group.
Wow. Yeah, sometimes you have to go to therapy. It's not just by yourself or with your spouse. You have to go with random people, too.
It's not surprising to me at all, considering how long they've been together. How much is at stake? What's surprising to me is the interview going, wow. Like, she was amazed by that revelation there. I mean, yeah, it's a good idea.
Besides by yourself or with your significant other, who did you have to go to therapy with? 1-800-330-9999. Pete.
My brother and I had to go to therapy when we were doing prank calls when I was a kid. And, you know, I understood, you know, you call, you ask some weird question, where is your refrigerator running type thing. My brother didn't get it. And the first time he did it, he called. It was some old lady, and he threatened to come to her house with a machete.
Oh, my gosh.
He got violent. I was like, what? No, don't. And I had to take it away and hang up, and it was too late. And then we had to go to therapy for a few sessions. And I tried to explain. It was just a prank, but they thought my brother was a little disturbed, and they thought I was.
Yeah.
I might agree. I was telling him to do these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, telling him telepathically, that would have been the icing on top of that. That would have been real nice. You were the first diversion program in your neighborhood. You guys had to go to therapy instead of juvie. You know what? Probably money well spent there. You know, therapy, it shows up at all the right times.
But I wonder how many people have to go to therapy with their siblings. The fighting with the siblings, right?
You know, I mean, family therapy would make a lot of sense, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing is that the more annoyed you are at being told you have to go to therapy, probably the more you need it.
Right. Holly, who were you forced to go to therapy with?
My pom squad. I mean, there was so much drama going on with these girls, and we were like in middle school. But the school tried to put us into resolution management or whatever, anger management, and we had to go after school for like weeks.
I remember having to go to like see the guidance counselor with friends like when middle school.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Well, I didn't know that they did that, to tell you the truth.
Girls are mean. 100% that's true.
You can definitely be cruel, that's for sure. I mean, did you
for
get
sure.
anything out of it? Or did you guys just realize that, you know what, if we don't stop being so catty, they're going to make us keep coming to these sessions?
I mean, realistically, I think that's what we mainly got. Like, yeah. We just have to put on our smiles and act right. Or otherwise, we can't perform. So.
You know what? In some ways, that's the lesson to be learned anyway. So, right.
Mike, how about you? Who were you forced to go to therapy with?
My coworkers. We got into this big skirmish about some project we were working on. And it was like, it bled into every project after that. So it was just like, my cubicle neighbor, and it was fighting with somebody across the hall. So every email he sent was a little bit like, kind of racy, but so like we just had to all go into a thing together, you know, and I was involved with that, even though I wasn't really the one making the problem.
Do you feel like it worked?
Yeah, I feel like at the end of the day, you know, everybody kind of found a middle ground and was able to move forward, and every project after that kind of worked out in the end, but it's like it's such a headache of a couple weeks there.
It seems like something, but if you learn something, mm-hmm. like a lot of people discount it after, but when you look back mm-hmm. and you say, nope. We actually were able to move forward and do some other stuff. You probably change the way you interact in other scenarios moving ahead after that.
It's probably one of the things that bothers me most. Mm. If you missed it on the show yesterday, this happened. Top 5 worst things about Uber. Number 4, Harry.
It's got to be the air fresheners for me. They always smell way too intense. And I'm also like, what are you covering up? What did this smell like if this is the solution?
Getting into people's cars in general, and getting that first smell when they have a smell is tough. And I always wonder what my car smells like. What does my car smell like? What do people think my car smells like when they get in it?
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Did you do any editing of this whole process here?
No, I didn't.
Because I know it's something that you actually, you know, consider.
No. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, after the show yesterday, what we did was we blindfolded producer John and producer Sean. And Raven and I drove around a couple times so we would confuse them on whose car was whose.
Yeah.
And then we put them in each of our cars and recorded them just remarking about what our cars smell like. So they don't know whose car they're in or anything like that. Both of them correctly identified whose car they were in right away.
I mean, I would think so.
Yeah. This is my car. This was Sean's reaction.
It smells a bit like a new car still, so I want to guess it's Anna Zapp's car.
But is it a good smell, Sean? Because my car, that car is not new. That car is almost 6 years old.
Oh, no, that's good. A new car smell is probably one of the best smells in the world. Next, like, you know, gasoline.
I mean, it's like drying glues and stuff like that. It's probably bad for you, as a matter of fact. But we do like the smell.
I do love it.
Yeah, humans like it.
So you would think that my car doesn't smell like dirty kids spilling chocolate milk and goldfish everywhere all the time.
No, smelled, like I said, like a new car.
All right, this is what John said about my car.
Yeah, no, this is Anna's car. It's too clean. It's definitely too clean. Yeah. No, it's got to be. It's got to be. It smells, yeah, and everything feels like all nice. And if I feel back here, there is a car seat. Yeah, this is Anna's car.
It was nothing that had to do with you touching the car seat.
Yeah.
What did the car smell like?
It smelled clean and stuff.
That's a shocking. To me, that makes me so happy because I'm always so paranoid.
Did you have it detailed before this experiment?
My car hasn't been washed, and I don't even know how long. If my husband doesn't take it, that doesn't happen.
I do want to say as a side note, it was funny to watch producer John in Anna's car, like from the outside. He's just like feeling the dashboard. I'm like, what's
plush
in there?
Yeah. Plush.
Listen, this is the supple thing where leather. We use all five of our senses. Okay, all right.
Supple.
Then John and Sean got into Raven's car. Here's Sean.
God, this is tough because it kind of does have somewhat of a new car smell, but it also has like an air freshener smell. And judging based off that I thought the first one was Anna's, I have to think this one's Raven's because it doesn't have that exact new car smell. But it smells like flowers, some sort of lavender or flowers.
Do you put lavender flowers in your car, Raven?
There's no air freshener in my vehicle whatsoever.
Ever?
Really?
Not one.
Wait a minute. He used process of elimination, and that's okay? I use touch, and that's not okay.
But All right, calm down, John.
Yeah.
Let's hear John's statement about my vehicle.
Yeah, see, this has the lived-in quality that I would have expected from Raven's car over Anna's a little bit. This is definitely a car that recently got into a fender bender in a Costco parking lot, for sure.
That's hurtful.
Well, that's true. I didn't realize how bad the damage on your car was until we did this.
The front of the car is all plastic.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, it's like 5 miles per hour.
So and yet I could smell it.
But when you say a lived-in car, lived-in smell, what is a lived-in smell?
Well, you know, as me personally, I know all about the lived-in car smell because there has been times where I've literally lived out of that car.
Right.
So, you know, it was relatable to me.
I mean, to be fair, I've slept in my car many times. I like to sleep in the car.
Yeah, but not overnight. Like, we just like take a power
typically
nap.
Typically not, but I would.
So,
if necessary.
Do either of our cars smell bad?
No, I don't think so.
That one said bad, no, but I'm in no position to talk for the reasons I just mentioned.
Fair enough.
I mean, I guess, right?
Did you ever wake up and all of a sudden you look over and there's a demon in your bedroom? Turns out you're not alone and there's a reason for it. Let's check in with the experts.
HealthWise with Dr. Wider, the Anna and Raven Show.
Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Jenna, everybody sees demons now? That's just a thing?
Right. I mean, we're talking metaphorical. We're talking like there's a demon in the bed.
Actually, it's really interesting because there is a medical term for this, and it is a form of sleep paralysis, believe it or not. And a recent study showed us that more than 58% of people actually sensed a non-human presence in their room, and 22% of people thought they saw an actual person. This is more common than people realize. I had this happen to me a couple years ago where I thought, and I'm not even kidding, I saw a family from the colonial times in my room.
Oh my gosh. Jenna, what is happening
in
your life?
House?
It's new.
Yeah.
Like, it's not an old,
1985.
Old house. And I guess what's really weird is, and I did a deep dive into this because it freaked me out completely. Hallucinations happen to people when they go between the state of being asleep and in the rapid eye movement stage and being awake. So the body actually becomes temporarily paralyzed, and during these hallucinations. So your body doesn't move, and that's because when you're in rapid eye movement, your body goes through sleep paralysis. So that's part of the natural sleep cycle in everyone. And then there are types of hallucinations, right? So certain types of hallucinations occur when a person is falling asleep, and another type occurs when people are waking up. And so they're not necessarily hallucinations. There's also feelings of falling. That's another type of tactile hallucination, or a feeling that you're flying. You see a pattern in your room, and then you immediately attribute human qualities to it. So it's an actual hallucination. Has that ever happened to you guys?
I've seen the, like, I think that there's somebody standing in my room. Like, I see a figure of, like, a, always see, like, a figure of a man standing in my room. Mm. And then I put the covers over my head, and I'm like, don't go away. Go away. Go away. Go away.
Right. You beg for
and
them
then
to leave.
And they usually are gone, and that's the end of it.
I see stars and, like, shadows and stuff like that, and I just attribute that to being overtired, way overtired. I'm seeing some right now, as a matter of fact.
I just fell asleep and I saw a demon.
I don't know if a star is dressed in colonial attire. I didn't look that hard, but, you know, I saw something.
It's so crazy. We have exercise equipment in my room, and I blinked and the colonial family disappeared, and they were definitely in the shape. The whole family formation was in the shape of the elliptical.
Wait, but, I'm surprised one of them wasn't on it.
Did you ever, like, research, like, did they live there before? Like, is there a burial ground?
It was a new house. It's a new house.
Yeah, but that's
a
you know,
burial ground.
There's bodies.
Oh, my gosh. You think it's poltergeist?
Maybe.
It wasn't a bad thing. They were waving at me.
That's nice.
One had, like, a pinwheel. I'm not even kidding. It was such a crazy hallucination. But listen to this. So just in real terms, there is a medical explanation for why we see these types of figures in our room. And the interesting thing is studies have found a link between people with stress, anxiety, and drinking the night before with sleep paralysis. In addition, if somebody has come back from a trip and has jet lag, you're more likely to experience one of these types of hallucinations. And the other interesting thing is it happens more often when people are sleeping on their backs. So if you keep your stress at bay, if you treat your jet lag, and you go through a regular bedtime routine and go to bed on your stomach or on your side, you're much less likely to have this happen.
Dr. Jenna got wasted one night and woke up the next day and thought the Puritans were with her. It's wild.
Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, yeah. Man, we are learning a lot today.
At least we know we're not alone. Everyone's looking at these demons or colonial people. Jenna, thank you so much. If you want to find Dr. Wider, head to her website, drwider.com.
One couple.
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make an excuse. She can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Corner on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you just have to decide who's right. Jeff and Pia. Pia, what happened?
Well, we were out to eat, and we got the wrong bill, and I don't think it's morally right to just accept the wrong bill and not do something about it. We should at least reach out to the restaurant and be honest.
So, wait a minute. So, what happened? So, you guys went to eat. You get the wrong bill, and why didn't you say something then? You were aware at this point, or what?
I personally was not aware until after the fact.
So, I guess that means, Jeff, you were aware that you got the wrong bill.
Ooh, Jeff, what happened?
Hey, look, you know, she ordered 3 hazelnut martinis. They're 16 each. It's an expensive, classy place. They dropped a check. It says $50. I just paid it. We left. Seemed like God was smiling on us.
Food-wise, did it have anything comparable to what you were eating? I mean, obviously, it's missing $45 worth of drinks.
Well, you know, I had the chicken. It wasn't exactly lobster thermidor, but it wasn't a cheap menu, and I just figure, you know, sometimes the universe is looking out for you.
Hold on, Jeff. Forget the universe looking out of you. Did you know you had the wrong check?
Was it your check minus the drinks, or was it a completely different check?
I sort of didn't look too deeply into it.
I mean, now you both know, so obviously you looked when you got home. Was it your check, or was it somebody else's check, Jeff?
It was definitely somebody else's, obviously.
Okay.
All right, so now the problem is do you reach out to the restaurant because you've made a moral decision, Jeff? You got the wrong check, you're going to pay the wrong check, and you're going to save yourselves $100 or whatever it is, and Pia's mad about it.
She's very upset, but I figure if something unexpected like that happens, you got to roll with the punches here.
Is this a place that you go to often?
Yeah, it's a local spot, and, you know, I wouldn't call us regulars, but we like it.
All right, Pia, what do you want him to do?
He should give the restaurant a call and just let them know what happened. And then at that point, just leave it up to the restaurant to decide. If the restaurant doesn't want to or doesn't expect us to pay anymore, then at that point, that's the restaurant's decision. And at least we did our part. We made the effort. So that's just basically
And here's my thing. If you park somewhere and you don't get a ticket, do you go tell the cops on yourself? I mean, I just don't see why we need to clean up this thing when it just happened and it's over.
Jeff has been preparing a line of defense.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, he's hitting on something because Anna comes from a restaurant family, but also Anna plays parking roulette. I mean, this is going to be a real torrid situation for you here, Anna. What would you decide? I don't even know.
I've stopped playing parking roulette. If you're not familiar, I wouldn't pay for I would not pay for parking. And then if the cops caught me, I would happily pay the ticket. But I found that 9 times out of 10, they weren't catching me. And then I had 1 week where 3 times in a row.
Caught you every time.
Yeah. And it cost me like $120. And I was like, all right, like that's enough for parking roulette.
You know, I think that's the exact philosophy I'm applying to this situation where, you know, whatever happened, happened. No one caught it in the moment, and it's over. So why am I going to go back in time and revisit this when, in reality, we had a great experience there, and we'll be back?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, when
you walk in, they're going to realize.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They knew the second you left the place. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have to call the restaurant and let them know that there was a mistake and own up to it? What do you think?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
If you got the wrong check at a restaurant and it was in your favor, like the amount was from a different table and it was significantly less than yours, would you fess up right away? Because Jeff didn't. He 100% saw the check, was like, this is like $100 less than it should be. Paid it, didn't say a word to his wife until they got in the car, and now Pia is mad.
Yeah, Pia's upset about this. I mean, and they're not regulars, but they go to this place often enough. It's in their town, and she just feels like morally it's incorrect, right? And it's nice, you know, if you can save a little bit of cash here and there, but at what expense really for the future? I don't know, Anna. If this is a place that you're going to one time in your life, if this happened to you at an amusement park, what are you doing?
At an amusement park?
Yeah. Running out the door.
I guess.
Running out the door.
I don't know.
Grabbing your children and they're like, Mommy!
If I realized it at the time, I would speak up. If it was afterwards, I would let it go. But Pia doesn't want to let it go. She wants Jeff to call the restaurant and explain what happened. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Matt?
I'm on the guy's side. I'm with my brothers and we're going to school. We think this is ridiculous. Like, you can't be... Here's the thing, right? If they caught it, then they'd have to pay it, but they didn't catch it. It's like his wife is obviously not money saving material here. That's all I'm saying.
Take the money and run. He says, take the martinis and run.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. If you were given the wrong check at dinner and you knew it was the wrong check, but it was in your favor, would you just pay it, say nothing, get up and walk out the door? Or would you wave the waiter over and be like, I'm sorry, this isn't our check? Because Jeff paid the wrong amount, figured like he was getting a deal, and walked out the door. And now his wife, Pia's mad.
Yeah, I mean, it's an uncomfortable scenario, right? Anywhere that you would be. And this is one of their neighborhood places. They like to go here. They don't go here every day, but, you know, they go here often enough. You know, listen, if I'm at Disney and this happens, I probably pay it and tip my server extra and just walk out the door. But, you know, this is a place with real people, right? Like, there's not some mint. There's not some vault of gold in the back room where they just have endless amounts of cash. So somewhere that money is being accounted for.
What do you think? Would you fess up? Because now she wants him to call the restaurant and explain that there was a mistake and he would like to correct it. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I was thinking maybe the bartender gave them a break on the bill.
Yeah.
Sometimes bartenders will throw a few free drinks your way to, you know, solicit a tip. So, you know, why would you? I don't think they should go out of their way to go back to the restaurant.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The drinks is one thing, but I specifically asked him whether or not the rest of the bill matched any of their food, and it didn't. It was clearly not their bill. So I'll tell you what. I mean, I don't know whether or not I call them up, but you're never getting a free drink there again. You can remember that because they're going to talk about it.
Right.
Hey, Dan, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on her side all day long. How do you know, like, if it's a fine dining, it's not a corporate restaurant or anything like that, even though, you know, corporate restaurants eat a lot.
but a mom and pop, they don't eat a lot. The person serving them eats a lot. Mm. So how do you know that that server that took care of them and they had a great experience, you know, had to pay the rest of that bill in order to keep their job or something, you know?
Also, coming from a restaurant family myself, I will tell you that if we realize that this happened, we all know those people. We know who they are.
Sure.
We'll remember them when they come in next time.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like,
you're paying full price.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
yeah.
never getting a
the
deal again.
There, you know what I mean?
Mike, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
I'm definitely on her side. Listen, karma is a real thing. It's one thing. If he accidentally paid it and didn't realize till after the fact, that's one thing. But he knew it was significantly less. And honestly, that just says a lot about his character. I just, I don't know. I think she's got to reconsider this relationship.
We're getting divorced because he took the wrong check and paid it.
Oh.
I don't know. The rest I agree with.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Yeah, our audience agreed with you. It's messed up. Jeff, you knew what you were doing. You made a mistake. Especially if you like the restaurant and you're going to go back, there's no problem with just calling and be like, hey, we were there last night and we just realized going over the check that this wasn't our check and just offer. It makes you look like good people, and I'm sure they'll be very appreciative.
I'm happy to call them if that's, you know, what Pia wants. I'll do it.
They may just be fine. It may be like, you know what, that was our mistake. You're good. We'll see you next time. And at least you were honest.
Right.
She's right. She's right.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$2,100 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. This program is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/annonraven. Hey, Maggie, you ready to play today?
Absolutely.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, could you do me a solid and please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
So Raven's going to walk out. He's walking very slowly today. That door is going to close.
Okay.
Taking his time. All right. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play, Maggie?
Let's do it.
All right. Number one, Justin Bieber was trending over the weekend because he photo dumped on his Instagram and included 2 photos of himself crying. His wife wrote "pretty crier" underneath. Who was his wife?
Hailey Bieber.
Number 2, Zendaya's movie Challenger was the big winner at the box office this past weekend. The storyline circles around what sport?
Tennis.
Number 3, a Mario Kart toy designed to put children in the driver's seat of Mario go-karts has been recalled due to a crashing hazard. In Mario Kart 64, how many playable characters were there?
Oh, God. I'm just going to spitball and go 16.
Number 4, Dax Shepard leaked a video of his wife, Kristen Bell, after a dermatology procedure. It was pretty funny. Kristen Bell voices what character in the Frozen movies?
Anna.
And number 5, LMFAO and YOLO are on the list of words that are no longer cool to say. What does YOLO stand for?
You only live once.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Now he's just having conversations with people in the hall. Hey, we have a show.
What's going on?
All right, 4 out of 5 for Maggie.
Wow,
she did great.
All right, 21 on your bucks. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
Number 1, Justin Bieber was trending over the weekend because he photo dumped on his Instagram and included 2 photos of himself crying. His wife wrote "pretty crier" in the comments beneath. Who's his wife?
Hailey Bieber.
That's right. Number 2, Zendaya's movie Challenger was the big winner at the box office this past weekend. The storyline circles around what sport?
Tennis.
Yes.
It looks great.
It really does. I have to check it out. Number 3, a Mario Kart toy designed to put children in the driver's seat of Mario go-karts has been recalled due to a crashing hazard.
Yeah.
In Mario Kart 64, how many playable characters were there?
You know what? I'll just take a shot and say 8.
8 is right.
Yeah!
Why did you
guess
8?
Dude, I was going to say that one first.
You know why? Because you have to have a certain amount of players, and it's a race. And so, you know, you're thinking that you need more than 4. And yeah, so I just took a shot and said 8.
Number 4, Dax Shepard leaked a video of his wife, Kristen Bell, after a dermatology procedure, and it's hilarious. Kristen Bell voices what character in the Frozen movies?
She's Anna.
Yes.
Anna.
Number 5, LMFAO and YOLO. As a side note, Raven just told a random listener never to call me Anna.
Listen, you've never once asked to be called Anna.
My parents are from Italy. My name is Anna Maria.
They're wonderful people.
You don't get to tell me what my name is.
I didn't tell you that. I simply said you never said it aloud on this program.
All right, Robin. All right, number five. LMFAO and YOLO are on the list of words that are no longer cool to use. What does YOLO stand for?
You only live once.
That's right. Maggie, he beat you 5-4 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
I mean, great game. Which one did you miss?
Mario Kart.
I missed Mario Kart, and I was going to say 8 first.
Yeah. Oh, that's
but
stinks.
Either way, it still would have tied.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you would have had a shot to go to the... Well, it's okay. It didn't happen, so...
Listen, don't make me feel worse, all right?
Yeah. You did great, Maggie. We're going to send you a t-shirt, okay?
Thank you so much.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,200 tomorrow, Anna.